Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Slam it down. Just give you a beer with a paper towel wrapped around it.
Do you think we got him to stop listening?
Probably.
Okay.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 51 of the internet comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is Cole.
And I am Chris.
And we're here to entertain your asses.
We are still sick.
We are still so very sick. It's been a week, and I feel exactly like I did when we recorded the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just so much worse.
It's like I feel better, and then I make out with you, and then you feel better, and then we make out again.
It's like we are kind of like just reinfecting our own toothbrushes. Every time we use it, you know, we're not boiling them.
Yeah.
Like we should be. But instead of toothbrushes, it's just each other's tongues.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gross.
It's just a brother's tongue. That's all.
You just whatever. It's, you know, what's the difference?
Huh.
I don't know. Hey, Chris, tell me a story.
All right. There's this guy named John Crosby.
Oh, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
With an IE.
Oh, okay. Mm. He's a knockoff.
He is a Newfoundland and Labrador's lieutenant governor.
Like the dogs?
Yeah. He issued a conditional apology after coming under fire for a joke about Pakistan suicide bombers that some people found offensive. He's quoted as saying, "If anyone who thinks the joke is offensive or there's something wrong with it, well, then I apologize to them. Sure. If that's what they think, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings." He's come under fire for a joke that he made at the swearing-in ceremony of cabinet members.
Okay, in Labrador, England?
Yeah, somewhere. Newfoundland.
Oh, okay, Newfoundland, okay.
Newfoundland.
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 Nolens?
Yes.
Okay.
The joke went a little something like this.
Oh, no.
I called the suicide hotline. I got a call center in Pakistan. When I told them I was suicidal, they got all excited and asked me if I could drive a truck. Why is he apologizing for an awesome joke? That's what I want to know.
Yes, that is probably something he found on freerepublic.com. But goddamn, that's like so quaint. It feels like, I don't know. Like, yes, I can understand why it would be bad if somebody who was holding public office said that into a microphone in front of people.
I don't even know. I read the stage notes and they say record stops.
Note to sound guy. Insert. See, that's why anybody who's going to be doing public speaking, they teach this now. But, you know, most people didn't get the memo that the custom has changed. Anytime you get up in front of people, you have to have an assortment of smoke bombs that you can throw down to, like, provide a distraction for your rapid egress from the podium. Just you drop one of those by mistake, just boom, and then you're out. You're out the window. Just the curtains flapping in the breeze. He fucked up. He fucked up big time.
It was a good one.
It was a funny joke, but that's nothing to say when you're a politician. I don't even like those kinds of jokes.
Well, you laugh pretty hard.
I laughed. It's a funny. It caught me off.
Good.
It caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. It caught me off guard.
Yeah. You're still laughing.
I'm still laughing. I know, and I don't feel good about it. It's not. It's not a wholesome
thing. Seems like it makes you feel pretty good.
Can I tell a story? And not like a news story, but something that's in that similar vein.
Sure.
Okay. You know, I don't want to talk about my job that I'm currently underemployed at, but it's in the retail space, and it deals primarily with selling video games to people. I realize how sad that is for a person my age to be doing that, but here we go. Somebody came in about a week ago, and he was wearing an Insane Clown Posse t-shirt, and he was engaging me in a conversation about the new Call of Duty game. Call of Duty is a popular first-person shooter franchise, which mimics, you know, real-life events, and he was saying, man, what do you think they're going to do next? The new one is blah, blah, blah. I can't do his accent. And it's like, I told him, I don't know. It's a trilogy, etc. And they said, man, it'd be awesome if they went to Afghanistan. That way we could kill some of them fucking towel heads. Am I right? What? You say this on a Sunday afternoon in broad daylight. These are the kind of things you only whisper under your covers at night. And he's just like, hey. And I'm thinking, this causes me to, A, silence myself, but also think, what is it about me that makes you feel comfortable saying that to me?
The fact that you're wearing a shredder mask for Jesus?
I like to think those two things are separated. But it was like, I was taken aback. There are very few times where I'm rendered speechless, but they're like, all I could do was just disengage, like right away. Just go, yeah, blah, blah, blah. That's the noise that I made. And I just told them, continue, proceed, go about your business, but please walk away from me.
So you let him pass.
I guess, I don't know.
Where'd it go?
I guess I could have, you know, made the world a little bit better of a place that day, but I didn't.
Oh, well. Can I tell you a story? Cause it lines up.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me a story that lines up.
Chris. All right. There's this guy. He's an Iranian-born guy. His name is Sean. There's no quotes. I can't imagine that he's Iranian-born and named Sean. But his last name is Ashfahani. He's the owner of the Eastern Shore Toyota, which is also known as Taliban Toyota, in Daphne, Alabama.
Okay.
He is seeking $28 million in compensatory and punitive damages from Bob Tyler Toyota, claiming employees at the Pensacola, Florida-based dealership falsely portrayed him as an Islamist militant to their customers. Asfani's lawsuit said that Bob Tyler's sales manager, Fred Kenner, told at least one couple considering buying from Eastern Shore Toyota in 2009 that Asfani was a Middle Eastern descendant and was, quote, helping fund the insurgents and is also laundering money for them.
He's like running psyops on this guy.
A Bob Tyler salesman was accused of telling the same couple that Asfani was from Iraq, and they also called him a terrorist who put soldiers in harm's way. They said Asfani is funneling money back to his family and other terrorists. The salesperson is quoted as saying, I have a brother over there, and what you're doing is helping kill my brother.
You're killing my brother. You are literally murdering him. His blood is on your hands.
Yes.
His blood is on your hands, sir. Wait a minute. Does he, is the quote-unquote Taliban Toyota label, is that ascribed to him? Or did he, is that
what they're calling it?
That's what they're calling it.
They're calling it.
Okay.
Not a tab. I didn't make that up.
Okay. So that's what these people who are trying to defame this innocent Iranian are calling his establishment.
I don't know if I use innocent. He's Iranian.
Yeah, I knew some German people in school. I kept an eye on them.
It's the reason why their butt plugs glow in the dark.
I'm speechless.
The nuclear man.
I mean, yes, what these people are doing is reprehensible. That sounds like a plot from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is what it sounds like. In fact, they did that once, didn't they? A Middle Eastern bar opened up and like, you know what? This is going to be for America. We're going to get these guys out of here. Right?
I don't even know.
I don't know. That's what it sounds like. It's taking the cues, man. They're taking the cues from the popular culture. I mean, it's a sound strategy, especially if you're in Georgia and everybody's like, brown person, you know, that's the thing that you're dealing with down there. So if you're going to leverage that for a business opportunity, then yeah, go ahead.
Did you want me to disagree?
Can I tell you about another business war that may have involved dirty tactics?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Two Domino's Pizza restaurant managers in Lake City, Florida, are being charged with arson after successfully conspiring to burn down a competing Papa John's pizza in mid-October. They committed the crime with the belief that their businesses would do better if their chief competitor was out of the picture. Because everybody knows that once a Papa John's is burned down, they will not build in that town again. They get that message. They get it. They know. What part of that don't you get, Chris? They get it. They know.
I'm just thinking about how easy it is most of the time to know what stories you're going to pick.
Yeah? Why?
Yeah, because like anything that has to do with revenge, generally in the news cycle, you'll pick those.
Exactly. Chris, I'm motivated by vengeance in most of my daily life. So I tend to gravitate towards that because these are themes that that resound with me.
You do, yeah. You just kind of want to get back at the man.
Yeah, just the goddamn man. Come on.
Yeah.
Do it. Burn that house down.
That's what you seem
burn,
like.
Burn down that papa. Burn that papa down. Okay.
Maybe we have different reasons.
Yeah, Chris, you know what? I think the mamas and the papas would do much better without the papas. Just make it the mamas. Chris, all the leaves are brown, and the Papa Johns are burning. Burning.
The lyric says that the studs are gray.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Pepperoni dreams. Okay.
Like a feather falling from the sky. You just went through the whole Forrest Gump soundtrack.
Yes, I did. I'm
pretty sure you did.
Side one of tape one.
Sometimes I think you're a little bit cuckoo.
Just a little bit.
A little bit out of it.
Are you leading to something?
Are the unseen enemy somebody that you...
Somebody that I know.
You think you see?
Yeah, somebody that I know is there, but I can't confirm or show to
you
the doctors.
To this guy?
To the police? Okay.
No, to this guy.
To this particular person. To this particular cuckoo.
To the guy you're talking about.
Right.
To the guy I'm saying.
Yeah, to the guy I'm talking over you about.
Yeah, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
Are you going to give me a minute?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to talk?
I'm going to let you speak.
Are you done talking?
Are you done asking me questions for which I can overtalk you?
Generally, when I ask you a question, you don't respond directly. I just want to say,
hey, you know, tell me the story. God damn it.
A man in Utah shot his neighbor in the back.
Okay.
Why, you ask?
A territory dispute?
Answer after I ask the question.
Okay.
Why, you ask?
A territory dispute?
More inquisitive?
A territory dispute?
No.
No?
According to a probable cause statement filed with the Davis County Jail, Michael Selenit, he told detectives he shot his neighbor in self-defense with intent to kill.
Okay.
He meant it.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed that his neighbor had been telepathically threatening to kill him and his wife. He also claimed that his neighbor had telepathically raped his wife on many occasions.
Finally, somebody is drawing attention to the issue.
Yeah. Police emphasized that the man had been making such accusations for years and that there was no validity to them. They spent time on it. That's what it seems like to me.
We have investigated this matter thoroughly.
Yeah, they laid down the extra 6-inch meatball sub, and they were like, no, why would I eat a whole 12-inch in this sitting? I'm going to put the 6-inch in the fridge, and I'm going to go figure out why the hell this guy's eye-fucking this dude's wife.
This is PsyOps pure and simple. He's running around there with mind powers, lifting panties up, lifting skirts. Getting them panty shots on the tractor. I assume that all of Utah is farmland.
Gotta get them drawers.
Gotta get them panties. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta get them Mormon panties.
That's
all right.
Yeah.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Telepathic sister wives. There we go. See? Yeah. Yeah. No, this guy's inside a head, and the only way to get him out is either trepanation, the art of drilling a hole in your head to let the spirits out, or. Just shooting the guy in the
or
back.
Trepidation.
Or trepidation, which is like, hey, yeah, I don't know about this like, guy. I don't know what to do with him. Should I shoot him in the back? I'm not sure.
I approach this with caution.
You know, I figure no matter what the problem is solved, they just need to make sure that they put him into, when they do put him into jail, they need to put him into a psychically insulated cell. Otherwise, just the assaults that he's going to be getting from all sides. I mean, just from us alone. I'm shooting mind bullets at this guy left and right. I don't want him to be psychologically sound anymore. He's going to be reduced to a gibbering, drooling Hulk, just covered up in a tattered bathrobe, rocking in the corner after the psychic assault that I'm going to levy on him.
Don't really okay? like how you're
Nothing's
looking at
gonna
me.
Nothing's going to be done. Chris, do you want my mind waves to be coming at you? Wah, 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 wah. It's coming.
What have you become?
I don't know.
Do you think I care when you talk fast?
No.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
I pick it up. I think it's funny. I entertain myself when I do it.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
It's fun to watch. I'm not sure if it's fun to listen to.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out when the episode goes out. Maybe I'm the one who edits these. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is a call to Cole's defense. Episode 51. This is where you basically fight to have him fucking continue this.
Yeah.
That's what this
Chris,
is about.
I'm trying to rise above the haze of my cold and the cold medicine that I've taken to combat my cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you vote Cole off, you'll have three characters to choose from, all voiced by me.
It's funny because I'm still going to have to be the one who edits it.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep.
Just got to retune that. Can you do my voice?
We've been over this. Okay. I can clearly
you can your voice. I get really sad when you do it, too. It's very upsetting. It's quite upsetting to me.
You like it, though. You invited me to do it, and I'm not going to do it because it make you happy.
Because I get some kind of sick satisfaction out of it. Well, Chris, since we're talking about the supernatural and about the abilities of the human mind, can I take you to...
Disapproving face.
Okay. It's not a vidcast, Chris. Not a vidcast yet. Keep those donations coming.
No!
Thanks. That's all I wanted. That's all that I wanted. It's all I needed. Chris, the Out-of-Body Experience Research Center in Los Angeles has released a study saying that alien abductions are merely a product of the human mind, fabricated out of vivid dreams. 20 volunteers were coached on how to recognize moments of lucidity in the middle of the night and ultimately use this coaching to manufacture perceived alien abductions in the participants' dreams. According to the lead researcher, the fact that the abductions can be induced proves that they are inherently false. Now, Chris, I think I take the most rational approach to the existence of extraterrestrial life. I think that in an effectively infinite universe that is expanding at the moment and will contract later, but effectively infinite, okay? This big old snow globe without a wall. It would be selfish and self-centered and ultimately small-minded to neglect that there may or may not be intelligent life out there. But I believe that the chances of them encountering us are so vast that just it's not a possibility. There's too much empty space for them to cover, you know, for any of them to reach us in our lifetime unless they mastered some kind of space colony technology and just, you know, reached out to us Risk style. But I think that this guy's taking the wrong tack. That is unsound logic. Just because I can make you think with my mind training that you're being abducted, that, okay, this isn't going to happen, like it's not real. Just because I can manufacture this means it's not real. Chris, just because I can put together a diorama of a desert island scene from Robinson Crusoe doesn't mean that Robinson Crusoe didn't happen. That's a biographical book, right? Why are you looking at my screen?
That's a pretty impressive sound wave you got going there.
No, I'm just... Okay. No.
Seemed like I died and you're on coke. That's what it seems like.
I'm just saying, I think that his reasoning is spurious. I think that somebody who works for the Out-of-Body Experience Center...
Like a spear.
In Los Angeles. I don't know if he's the right person to be looking at.
So he likes you. He likes, you know, the people. That,
ufology?
Yeah. The words.
Yeah. But it's just like, I'm going to coach you. It's just like, you know, what you think about is what you dream about. Dreaming is refiling and resorting the stimulus that you experience throughout the day.
Having a lot of angry dreams.
Have you?
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah. And this is therapeutic, not comedic. I've been having a lot of angry dreams.
Have you? Is that a response to daily life? You don't have to go
into
details.
Yeah, like where I wake up scared.
Yeah, like what have I done?
Kind of thing, right? Yeah, like where I got to call somebody and be like, can you tell me we didn't do that?
Tell me I didn't say those things to you.
Tell me we didn't do that. And then the more awkward call, tell me I didn't do that to you.
Yeah. I have lonely and disorienting dreams where I'm like wandering about in the hull of some gigantic vessel, just, you know, doomed. I may be sinking. I don't know. I can't find the any kind of porthole to tell me where I'm at. It just gets darker and darker and darker. And I think something's chasing me.
You think. You don't know.
I don't know. I've never been able to confirm it.
Wow, that's paranoia at its root.
Is it?
I think it is. I don't know, but I think something's chasing me.
Yeah, yeah. When I do remember my dreams, yeah. I never like them. I don't know,
but I think something's it's probing me. I'm not sure. I think it's probing me.
Some doctor was like giving me the hypnotist eyes and telling me, you will dream about aliens when I
wipe
tonight.
When I wipe, there's blood. I don't know what that means. That's what I know. I know when I wipe, there's blood.
Chris, I have a black stool and I didn't buy it at IKEA.
That's my UFO story. When I wiped this blood, I don't know where it come from, but it came. So, yeah, I don't know.
If I knew, I wouldn't be talking about it. Nope. If I knew it would be settled.
Only late night.
This is a venue for unexplored questions, for unanswered questions, Chris. Here in the minute
Gilbert Gottfried left the USA Network, my up all night became wiping blood. that's how I transitioned.
Nick, you know, Nick at Night, all that going into that. Are you afraid of the dark? I don't know.
My anus is bleeding.
Yeah, Clarissa, she should explain it all because I have a lot of good questions here.
You should probably tell me when my anus is bleeding.
Tell me. Just get up in there. Get up in there with one of those, with a miner's helmet, and just get.
I mean, I looked at it with a mirror, and it looks like my ball is blossoming.
I mean, you don't have to take notes. You can save them to Ferguson back there. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, because you know when
it was really heavy, I called it the Wonder Years.
we can't get to the bottom of the Secret Life of Alex Mack or Space Cases without. Salute your shorts, Pete and Pete. So
I don't even know what to do here.
I think I just ran circles around you with my science.
I mean, I guess that my suspicion had always been that it had family ties.
Okay. But I just want to find some Green Acres. I don't know.
I'm going to take it step by step.
Take it step by step and tell me another story.
Can we stay in the science zone?
Yes, we can.
All right.
I mean, they'll charge us extra, but that's fine.
According to researchers, a woman's walk gives off subtle clues that can belie her sexual experience. The study found that observers were able to detect whether a woman had a history of vaginal orgasms through traditional intercourse simply by watching her cross the street. The findings state that women who walk with fluidity, energy, sensuality, freedom, and absence of both flaccid and locked muscles were more likely to have a history of vaginal orgasm than women who did not display these characteristics in these walks.
Walk without rhythm and you won't attract the worm. We got that. It's from Dune, Chris. Okay.
I saw that on Betty Boop.
there's so many of these studies that are like, determining that women who are like strippers who are ovulating, they get more tips and just like these strange pheromonal, instinctual voodoo practice, you know, the secret.
Well, they're basically describing bow-legged.
The game.
She's walking bow-legged.
She walking like a goddamn cowboy. She's been riding it.
Looks like she's loving
it. It's fine. I'm loving it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm loving it. Looked like she'd been loving it.
Yeah, it's fine. I just like the idea that like all of a person's sexual experience and needs can be displayed by these subtle physical symptoms that can be observed by scientists with white lab coats and clipboards.
I can see it in the look and twitch in your eye.
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm getting uncomfortable, Chris.
No.
Stop staring at me. You haven't blinked for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I have.
Okay. Okay.
Nobody can see what we just did.
Chris, can I put out a blanket warning to our listeners and the world's grandparents? Be on the lookout. Because scammers are using new technology to stay ahead of the curve and fool you. It's an age-old practice. Elderly person gets a call and, you know, the person on the other end says, hey, grandma / grandpa, depending on who answers, it is your grandson / daughter. Thank you. Gummy bear. I don't know why you're feeding them to me.
Just keep it in tone.
So, hey, Grandma and Grandpa, I'm in a bind. I need some bail. Interpol has me on lockdown. I've got some things I need to disprove. Can you wire me a couple $1,000? We'll be square and I'll actually come visit you this Christmas. Turns out, it's not their grandkids. They're just betting that eventually an old person will answer their phone. This has been going on for a while. It's not a new thing. But these pranksters slash scammers or scamsters, as I call them, they are now using Google Voice to rapidly call people all across the country for no charge and, you know, changing up their numbers. They're cloaking it. And they're using that to perpetrate their evil, misguided deeds. Google has responded saying that they are willing to cooperate with law enforcement. However, Google also cautions people against answering calls from Google Voice. That's what the article said. We'll work with law enforcement, but do not use our service.
So the first rule of Google Voice is do not talk to or about Google Voice.
Do not acknowledge the existence of Google Voice.
That's pretty much how
because some punk in Amsterdam is going to get all your grandpa's money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I did. I tried to cancel Google Voice.
You can't do it.
In the help section, it says, if you would like to cancel Google Voice, and then it says, we're working on a solution to the fact that you can't cancel Google
Voice. I know. After I read this article, I went and I was like, well, I don't, there's no sense in me having Google Voice anymore because I have an iPhone. It can do the transcription thing for me. Like, mm-hmm. That's all I really liked it for.
Yeah. But it was horrible.
It was bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that like the visual voicemail, and voicemail in general is just the most awful thing in the entire world. The inventors of voicemail and printers, you know, like, you know, Satan as the three-headed demon at the root of hell.
I hate printers.
They're the worst. You know, it used to be Cassius and Brutus down there in the mouths of Satan, you know, left and right in Dante's version of hell. No, printers on the right, voicemail on the left. The worst things in the entire goddamn world. Printers, yeah. Have you ever used a good one?
No, I mean, the best, most accurate voicemail I ever got was Et2 Inkjet.
And that is our title. So be on the lookout because Google Voice, don't sign up for it because you cannot unsign up for it. And just stop printing stuff. Go green.
I'll never buy another piece of paper again.
No.
What funny story?
Okay, tell me a story.
Yeah,
tell me.
No, this is a funny life story.
Okay.
So I have my daughter this weekend, and she was we colored and because it's daylight savings time.
Yeah,
and so
yeah, an extra hour to deal with her. Yeah,
and all that. Yeah, you put it like that, it makes me sound like that of a year. But so she has continually like gone back to the printer in the back room because I had two printers in the house because I hate myself that much. And so she's gotten her paper off of the printer in the back room.
Yeah.
And so I was walking back the hallway and she was walking up the hallway and she said, she had one piece of paper in her hand and she said, Dad, I need you to print more paper. Well, she's taking the paper off of the the load tray.
Yeah. Thinking that
I make paper out of that machine. Like, that's her impression.
Yeah.
like the documents do not come off of that inform people of anything. There's nothing applied to that. That machine makes paper.
So
to her, that's where she's at in her world, which explains her report card and the fact we have to go to conference date this week. One of the things that they said that she wasn't good at
was understanding causality.
Liberal, it is because one of the things that she was not good at was telling the difference between living and non-living things.
that sounds like something like you would use to describe a sociopath.
That this falls into social studies. This was under the social studies category. Yeah, yeah. The only thing that she does know, according to this report card, is that a swastika is more than an artistic tattoo. That's all she knows.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's so strange that that's still on the syllabus. When they mm-hmm. take that away from the criteria
absolutely.
For being graded, she's boned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, and the fact that she's really good at a jump shot, not a curb stomp, is awesome.
Hey, at least they're not grading her on whether or not she can gallop.
Yeah.
You know. That's a story. I almost got shunted into this.
She had a 50-50 shot at that. Because you couldn't gallop.
No. I almost got shunted into the special classes, the helmet classes, because...
Hey, I was really smart.
Yeah?
Like, I was a pretty smart kid. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, like, I knew the game.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I wasn't smart. Maybe I knew the game.
Yeah, well that's smart as appearances.
I went from my regular first grade and second grade classes in the morning to talented and gifted. And then in the afternoon, I had speech and chapter one reading.
So like neither of those two communicated. So I had, they didn't talk to each other.
I had normal kid classes.
Right.
And I guess they were like, what the fuck? Just put them in all of them.
Yeah.
That's I guess what they thought.
This kid needs to run the water.
They thought I just put him in all of it.
To see what takes.
Yeah, I think that it was like the chapter one reading because he needs to like learn stuff.
Yeah.
And then like the other kids don't know because he goofs off in regular class.
Uh-huh.
And then the other part, which was like the chapter one reading, because they didn't understand what I was talking about. And the speech.
So. And that hasn't changed a bit. I was a goddamn retard until like seventh grade. And then like I started excelling and all of that. But I was dumb. I didn't do work and all that. And I didn't get into tech or whatever they called it at the time.
You didn't do OM.
I did OM. I did Odyssey of the Mind.
Forever?
Really? I did it 1 year. I did it one
oh,
year.
See, it was I like, did it like it was like my sixth. Years.
Yeah, it was like my sixth.
Yeah, see, I was early on. Like
yeah, you were
like
grandfather
way smarter than you before. That.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how that goes. Development is a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you got so tall.
I did. I got so tall so fast. I was like 6 feet in like fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something in the chicken. I guess
I was very crotchety.
The dairy. Yeah, no, you were like a little Andy Rooney running around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I assume he was Wong.
Oh, man, this is like a goddamn duel. It really is. Like, parry, riposte. Oh, touche. There we go. You're getting me into position for those zingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume your next story is about sword fighting?
No, it's not. I just know those terms because I play too many video games. But let's talk about science again. Not the science zone, but this is more like medical kind of stuff, okay? Dr. Greg Homer, who is based out of Los Angeles, claims that he can use lasers to turn brown eyes blue. Oh. The technology, called Luminize, involves using lasers to burn the brown pigment off the top layer of the iris. It costs $2,500 per eye. So now when you go to abduct the kid at Disneyland, you don't just have to dye his hair. You have to take him and pay $5,000 to change his brown eyes to blue so you can sneak him out and raise him as your own. Come here, boy. Come here. Come on. Come on. Come away from Space Mountain. Oh, come over here. I'll dye your hair. Go to this doctor. Lasers. Yeah. Is there any problem lasers can't solve? I'm curious. I just don't know.
Are you done planning? Yeah, you are.
I'm done.
That's how you're going to do it?
And knowing my laziness, I will not edit this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exhibit A. Yeah. That's how Cole would abduct and hide the abduction of a child.
Yep. That's good beer.
Good God.
Where's the Tylenol?
Any kid I capture will be hidden in cheese.
Yeah, like a gigantic cheese wheel. They just roll out. No?
Nope.
Can you extrapolate on
Think
that?
Think of all the names of cheeses you know.
Cheddar, mozzarella, provolone, Gouda, Munster, Swiss, Colby, Jack.
Think about Monterey. All the forms of cheese that you know.
Slice, shredded, wheel, wedge. That's about it. A spread? I don't know what kind of game you're playing here, Riddler.
Lindbergh baby cheese wheel.
Oh, God damn it. You got me.
A 21-year-old woman told Washington County Sheriff's Office detectives she wanted to feel one with a horse.
Oh, no.
Do you know this?
I know the story. She gutted it like a fucking like wampa out in the fields of Hoth.
Yeah.
Continue.
After the horse had been put down and gutted, the woman undressed and crawled inside the carcass of the dead horse and took pictures to prove it. In addition to the picture of the naked woman inside the horse, there are other photos, including one of the woman and her boyfriend holding what appears to be the horse's heart. Another shot shows them holding a piece of the horse in front of their mouth, posing as if though they're about to bite out of it.
Like a crisp, juicy apple.
Yeah. The police have been quoted as saying, "There has been no evidence of any criminal activity. The horse was not abused, nor was it tortured. It was killed in what law enforcement considers one of the most humane ways to put animals down. A single gunshot wound to the brain with a high-powered rifle."
Okay.
"The horse likely never knew what happened. The meat was harvested and then eaten."
By them?
Yes. How else would you become one?
I'd assume pony play. You know?
Pony play is good.
Yeah, pony play. I'm always up for some pony play, Chris.
That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm anywhere.
I've been waiting for you. That's why I'm anywhere. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you
know what?
That's why you're better at one-upping than me.
You're
willing to come out there in that area.
I'm willing to make bold declarations vis-a-vis my preference for pony play. There we go. I don't see what's wrong.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say. She wore a horse coat.
Google. She made a horse her home. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's nothing that the one guy, the green guy, what's his name? Tom Green.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Oh yeah. He sucked off
the deer and then sucked off a
a dressed up like a sexy deer. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But. She's invited some people over for a horse-warming party.
Yeah, that's all.
These things smell worse on the inside than they do on the outside.
They do.
Yeah. You don't know a Star Wars reference. Stop it.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I'm gonna distance myself from that.
Okay, yeah. Just walk away. Walk away slowly. Walk away slowly, Chris.
I'm gonna eat some gummy bears.
Do it. Chris, a Florida beach walker stumbled upon a very large, very plastic, very unusual surprise. It was an 8-foot-tall, 100-pound fiberglass Lego man wearing a shirt that says, quote, "No real than you are," all in caps. When police investigated the Lego man, they linked him to an artist named Ego Leonard in Holland. Ego, that's my new name. Emo Phillips is a comedian, and my name is Ego Ross.
Calling you that for years.
Yeah, he's in Holland, Amsterdam, Dutch. He's a Dutchman who emailed back in the voice of the Castaway toy saying that the weather is nice in Florida and he intends to stay. Lego denies any involvement, saying that it's not a publicity stunt for the nearby Legoland amusement park. The man who originally discovered the Lego man can keep him so long as nobody claims him within 90 days. This story has been submitted by Carlo on Facebook. Now, this could have shaken out many different ways. You know, this person could have been hunted down for a crime. As far as I know, it's not illegal. But, Chris, are you familiar with cargo cults?
No.
Cargo cults are these civilizations that formed or were already there on islands in the South Pacific around the time of World War II. Basically, what happened was American and Japanese military people would show up and they would increase the rate of technological progression in these areas by, you know, just kind of like leaving behind, you know, things like guns and things like that. So the natives, they would say, oh, these white people, they are gods, and they bring us gifts from the future that make life easier. So what they do is they wait and they recreate military rituals. So like they would, you know, dress up in uniforms and like lay out airstrips, thinking that this is what these people did to bring all these things, all this food, so we're going to do it. So basically they made a religion out of aping the military customs of the armies that, you know, moved through those areas at the time. And a similar thing happens, like, you know, Gilligan's Island style, a cradle wash up and all that kind of thing. So then they recreate whatever happened then. That's a cargo cult. So imagine if a little plastic man washed up in the middle of the Indian or South Pacific, and all of a sudden he's their god. And then we discover them, you know, a century later, and it's a whole veritable Lego land. Okay? A whole veritable Lego land. that they have created themselves. With this single talismanic, monolithic figure at its center, this inert god demanding sacrifice to his modular Denmarkian, Danish rather, whims.
Does the hat that he wears have to come with the set that he came from, or can I put any hat on him?
You can put any hat on him. You know, it's modular. So that you can put the fireman hat on a Lego Harry Potter.
I can take like a 1967, a police helmet.
Yeah.
Like a bobby hat.
Yeah, like a bobby hat.
On to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be small.
If it's of the right size. I mean, yeah, this is a pretty big. Like, it's like 8 feet tall.
That big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. It's a big Lego man.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I just kind of wish that the thing that I said happened instead of it washing up in some shithole place in Florida.
I wish I was at the Legoland amusement park.
Right now.
Yeah.
That's where our first live show is.
That's where I want to be.
That's where I want to be. I want to be making bridges.
That's how I want to live.
I want to make an X-Wing out of Legos.
Yeah.
And fly it into Hogwarts.
Yeah.
As Indiana Jones watches.
Yeah.
And Batman rubs himself.
On Luigi's hat.
No, there's no Lego Mario, Chris. Stay with the times. Tell me a story.
A cleaning woman at a German museum who mistook a sculpture for an unsightly mess has destroyed the valuable artwork beyond recognition. The cleaner at the city's Ostwald Museum went to work on Martin Kippenberger installation titled When It Starts Dripping from the Ceiling, which was valued by insurers at around $1.1 million.
Oh, no.
The late contemporary master had created a tower of wooden slats under which a rubber trough was placed with a thin beige layer of paint representing dried rainwater. Taking it for an actual stain, the cleaner scrubbed the surface until it gleamed. Museum curators are quoted as saying, "It is now impossible to return it to its original state." Adding that the damage had been discovered late last month and that the work had been on loan to the museum from a private collector. As an additional note, works of art are not infrequently victims to zealous cleaners. In 1986, a, quote, grease stain by Joseph Bues, valued at around 400,000 euros, which I can only assume is like $500,000.
Yeah.
Was mopped away from the Academy of Fine Arts floor in Germany.
And in a related story, a prosthetics expert added arms to the Venus de Milo, and a very drunk patron of the arts urinated in one of Duchamp's urinals.
You decide.
You decide.
Laundry or art? Title? Shitty Pants.
This has been Those Damn Roskits.
Okay, Chris, so what can our listeners do in order to satisfy us and our ever-increasing lust for validation and fame?
Can we shorten this?
Yeah.
Do we have to do this?
We can try.
We
can try and shorten it, yeah. Let's do it. The more you say, the less short it becomes.
Post, review, talk, donate,
rate.
Post, rate, review, talk, donate.
Post, rate, review, talk, donate.
Vibrate.
Silence. Phone. Quickly. Now. We would like to thank Justin, Bert, and Alicia for liking us on Facebook. All of that is very much appreciated. Welcome to the party. Feel free to recommend stories. We have had a couple in the past couple weeks here that have been shared via you. It's a great source. You can call us on the voicemail. That's 419-528-TDRK. You heard it at the top of the hour, but we're going to say it again just because.
Yeah.
That's good.
Call the voicemail. Because we want to hear your voice.
We'll play you on the air.
You type things. We'll play you. We won't play you. You say you don't want to be played.
Express your preference.
We're going to talk about you.
We want to hear what you have to say.
Just call that number. It makes us feel like this is real.
It makes us feel like
I like things I can touch. I want to touch you.
Yeah.
I want to I want to touch you.
Chris, we better cut bait.
Oh, God.
You just overplayed your hand.
Bye.
Good night.